Turn with me now in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we'll begin reading at verse 18 through to verse 30. And our text is from verses 26 to 27. Romans 8, beginning at verse 18, God's word reads as follows. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the redemption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. And so again, the words of our text are verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today is Pentecost Sunday. The church celebrates the outpouring or the gift of the Holy Spirit 50 days following the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday. And whenever we speak of the work of the Holy Spirit, we need to remember that the Holy Spirit is not some magical power or mystical spirit that somehow emanates from God, but that he is the third person of the Trinity. He, as well as the Father and the Son, is eternal God. And whenever we think of the work of the Holy Spirit, what usually comes to mind first and foremost is the Spirit's role in our regeneration, our spiritual rebirth, whereby the Holy Spirit makes our spiritually dead hearts alive in Christ Jesus and grants to us that saving faith in Jesus to by which we are saved. And apart from this spiritual rebirth, we are at enmity with God. And apart from this spiritual rebirth, we cannot understand, we cannot receive even the spiritual things of God because they're simply foolishness to the one who's not born again. And so there can be no salvation apart from the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And followed closely behind the work of the Spirit's work of regeneration is our progressive sanctification, whereby the Holy Spirit directs our hearts and lives, empowering us to live a holy and a godly life, pleasing as unto the Lord. The Spirit guides us in the way of truth and righteousness in accordance with the Word of God. The Spirit enables us to live as new creations in Christ, to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh, and to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And so, most significantly, the Holy Spirit then is the source of our entire spiritual life, both in its origin, our regeneration, and its continuation in our sanctification. But there is, congregation, another aspect to the Spirit's work that doesn't always receive a lot of our attention. In fact, it's only mentioned once here in Scripture. And that's what we want to consider together this morning under the theme, The Holy Spirit Prays for Us. Noting three things in particular. First of all, the necessity. Secondly, the manner. And thirdly, the efficacy. One of the most important aspects of the Christian life is prayer. We've heard it said many times before that prayer is as essential to our spiritual life as breath is to our physical life. Without prayer, we will die and suffocate spiritually. Our spiritual life cannot survive apart from an active prayer life. Prayer is our lifeline to the throne room of a God of grace. In response to the question, why do Christians need to pray? The Heidelberg Catechism responds, because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us, and also because God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. We all need to pray. We need to pray not just for our perceived needs or wants, but to express, as it says in our catechism, to express our thankfulness to God for all the bountiful blessings. We need to prioritize our praying for the things of God. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so whether we actually pray or not, that's a different subject. But we cannot, congregation, we cannot deny the necessity of prayer. And yet, we'll seldom ever hear a Christian say, my prayer life is perfect. For whatever reason, prayer is something that we all seem to wrestle with. Do you ever have it that you simply don't know what to pray for or how to pray? Even though Jesus provides us with the model prayer by which to pattern our prayers, there are still so many unique situations in life that leave us wondering, how do I pray for this? Even in our prayers, there's often that tension of between praying for what we want or what we think we might need and to pray in a manner of total surrender and submission to the will of God. When someone is gravely ill or suffering, do we continue to pray for healing, or do we pray for God to be gracious to receive our loved one up with Him into glory? Do we keep on praying as in the parable of the persistent widow? Or do we pray as the Apostle Paul, who prayed three times, asking the Lord to remove the thorn in the flesh, and God's answer was no? But then do we pray also with the acceptance of God's wonderful promise? My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I've talked to many seniors over the past 27 years of ministry who are sometimes physically, emotionally, or even spiritually just too sick, too weary, that they just couldn't pray. I've talked to people of all ages who found themselves in difficult circumstances, who struggle with temptation, who are going through a serious bout of depression, or who felt they were just barely hanging on to life under various trials and hardships in life, that they simply, feeling weighed down, could not pray. It's not that these people didn't believe anymore. They were simply too weak, too exhausted, too overcome by life situation and circumstances that they just could not pray. Do the cares and the burdens of their hearts and lives then not reach the throne room of God? Does God then not hear the cries from the heart when not a word in prayer is uttered? And when we do not pray as we ought to pray, are those prayers then simply dismissed by God? The answer is found in our text. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. You see, congregation, much to our comfort, Scripture assures us that the Holy Spirit comes to our aid in regard to prayer. He teaches us how to pray and what to pray for. We're not always aware of our own weaknesses to know how to pray in every situation. We're not always even able to pray. We're not always sensitive to pray in accord with what might be the will of God. Earlier in the chapter, Paul refers to our suffering, and particularly a suffering for the sake of Christ. But any time we experience suffering, and especially the suffering of persecution, what typically do we ask for? We ask for deliverance. We ask for relief. We're inclined to pray for an immediate removal of the cause of that suffering, because that's what we want. Well, just maybe we need to pray for perseverance, as God is perhaps disciplining us. Or perhaps God is refining our faith through the suffering that we would otherwise simply, God, just take it away. In some of our more short-sighted prayers, we would miss the blessings that God intends for us to experience and to receive through our sufferings. Therefore, we need the Spirit's intercession, because we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. We need the Spirit's intercession because there are times when we are simply too weak, too fragile, that we don't even know how to pray, let alone pray. And then what a comfort to know that the Holy Spirit, being truly God, omniscient God, all-knowing God, He knows exactly what we need, and He knows exactly how to ask on our behalf. What a comfort to know that the Holy Spirit, being truly God, who dwells within us, knows our needs and makes intercession on our behalf. When it comes to prayer, we all need help. And sure enough, on Pentecost, Jesus sent us the promised helper, the Holy Spirit, to help us in our weakness, this weakness also in prayer. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us, bringing our prayers of thanksgiving, as well as all our needs, our cares, our sorrows, our burdens, to the throne room of grace. Even when we can't pray, even when we fail to pray as we ought, the Holy Spirit is our intercessor. What does an intercessor do? The Holy Spirit prays for us in our stead. And congregation, who better? Who better than the Holy Spirit, truly God, who dwells within us to make intercession on our behalf? What does an intercessor do? He speaks in our behalf in a way in which we ourselves cannot speak or cannot pray. But then the question is, but is Jesus not our intercessor? We say, absolutely. If your Bible's open, you look ahead to verse 34. In 34, Paul makes mention of Jesus as our intercessor, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. And now here in verse 26, we read that the Holy Spirit also intercedes for us here on earth. What's the difference? Jesus' intercession occurs on our behalf from heaven, where he is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, whereas the intercession of the Holy Spirit takes place here on earth. It's said that Christ intercedes for us in matters that we are well aware, and the Spirit intercedes for us in matters of which we are not always fully aware. And so nothing is ever omitted, is it? Congregation, do we see by this, can we appreciate by this, so great is the Father's love, so great is the Father's care for you and I, for his covenant children, that knowing our weaknesses, also in this regard to praying, the Father provides double coverage. He provides us with two intercessors, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. While we are much more familiar and aware of the intercessory work of Jesus as the great high priest, the work of the Spirit as our intercessor is not often mentioned or thought about. And yet, congregation, it is of utmost importance, as it is of great comfort to you and I, isn't it? In addition to our regeneration, in addition to our sanctification, let us never, never forget this important work of the Holy Spirit, his intercession on behalf of you and I. Second, let's note the manner in which the Holy Spirit prays for us. Listen again to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. And then it says, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. In verse 22, if you look back at verse 22, the Apostle Paul speaks of all of creation groaning under the curse of man's fall into sin, awaiting for a day of redemption, a day of deliverance, a day of renewal, when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again on the clouds of heaven and will purify this world with the refiner's fire, leading to the new heavens and the new earth. Creation groans for, longs for, is under the curse of. In verse 23, Paul speaks of believers groaning for the day of renewal, for our adoption as sons, for the redemption of our bodies, when we too will be glorified, when we too will be made perfect, when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. And now here in verse 26, the Apostle Paul once again uses the language of groaning. Commentators are divided whether this is the inward groaning of man or that of the Holy Spirit. Because these verses are in reference to the Holy Spirit as our intercessor, we can hardly imagine that this groaning is anyone other than the Holy Spirit. So what then does this mean? Well, did Hannah not pray? yet without words that Eli thought she was drunk? Did Jesus not pray in the Garden of Gethsemane with such intensity? His sweat was as drops of blood. Matthew Henry notes, he says, the strength and fervency of those desires which the Holy Spirit works are hereby intimated. Yes, indeed, the prayers of the Spirit on your and my behalf are so deep, so profound, so intense, that they are beyond human words. The prayers of God the Holy Spirit are offered up to the Father with groaning. It's a mystery and a wonder, the communication between the Father and the Spirit. But what is it? The Spirit intercedes with such intensity, with such strength, with such fervency. We're not told here in our text. But given the entire context of chapter 8, the Spirit's groaning on our behalf could very well be the fruition of all the blessings expressed already here in verses 1 to 25 of our new life in the Spirit. How else could all these blessings of the Lord spoken of in Romans 8 be appropriated by faith? How? Through the groaning, through the prayers, through the intercession of the Holy Spirit, interceding for you and I when we do not know to pray as we ought. And so the Spirit communicates with the Father with groaning, with strength, with fervency, with words that cannot be uttered. Such congregation is the yearning, such is the passion of the Spirit's intercession on our behalf. And third, take note of the efficacy of the Spirit's intercession. Listen to what we read in verse 27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What is the efficacy? That is, what is the power? What's the value? What's the end result of the Spirit's intercession for us? Well, precisely because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all one, one in essence, one in will and in purpose. God the Father knows the mind of the Spirit and therefore understands the groanings which cannot be uttered. Within the persons of the Trinity, it is inconceivable that the Spirit would make intercession that is not in accord with the perfect will of the Father. You see, congregation, it's a good thing, but God doesn't always give us the things that we pray for. Our lives would be pretty messed up, wouldn't it? But rather, how comforting that when the Spirit makes intercession, abiding within us, knowing what we need, and knowing it perfectly, and knowing it in perfect will with a sovereign God. Precisely because the Holy Spirit intercedes in our behalf, our thanks, as well as our needs, our concerns, our burdens, will be heard and answered by the Father, even when we cannot pray. Because the Spirit intercedes on our behalf, the Father knows and he hears the cries that are heard through the Spirit. Even when we do not know what to pray for as we ought, our prayers are perfected by the Holy Spirit, that the Father knows exactly what the Spirit is praying on your and my behalf. The result is that the prayers offered up by the Spirit on our behalf will always be answered perfectly, because they're always prayed for perfectly by the Holy Spirit in accordance with the perfect will of the Father. Yes, indeed. What a tremendous comfort. What a wonderful blessing to have the Holy Spirit, the person of the Trinity, who dwells within us here on earth, making effective intercession for you and I and for all the saints. On Pentecost, Jesus sent forth the gift of the Holy Spirit as our helper. Our helper also in prayer. What a blessing that he makes intercession for you and I. His praying for us is one aspect of the Spirit's work that often goes unmentioned and as often goes unnoticed. And yet, as we have seen from our text this morning, this aspect of the Spirit's role is of key importance in every believer's life. What a comfort, what a blessing that the Spirit is our intercessor. Amen.